Welcome to River Life Podcasts. We're a church family embracing the Father's presence, releasing empowered people to declare and demonstrate Christ's kingdom. We trust that God would use what you hear today to bless and grow you so that you would be a blessing to those around you. For more information about River Life Baptist Church, go to riverlifechurch.org.au or find us on social media.
When you go there and you actually see a child, when you actually go to Africa, which really looking forward to going again, is when you see the difference in that you've made in that one child's life, or that one man's life, or the family that has been fed, or now coming to church, or even sometimes we brought kids over here, as you know, for surgeries. That's what motivates you through those difficult times, I think, is when you can see that God's grace, justice has been brought, a witch doctor has been caught, a family has seen justice. That's what motivates you to struggle through the times when you feel overwhelmed.
Hello and welcome to River Life's Going Deeper podcast. This is a continuing conversation about the deeper things of God. My name's Joe and we are continuing our Talking Justice series. Today, it's my great pleasure for Robin and I to host Rod Callanan and Jen Barker from DIAS, from Droplets in a Stream. Droplets in a Stream is a not-for-profit organization that partners with trusted leaders in Africa who have a dream to see their communities flourish. We had a great conversation talking all about what it looks like for two full-time workers here in Brisbane, Australia, where we're recording, what it looks like for them to be obedient, to follow the leading of the Lord, to end up creating an organization that blesses communities, families, and generations of people all around the world, particularly in Africa, in Uganda, in Kenya. It's an amazing, amazing story to hear what God has done in their lives and through their lives. And as a simple story of obedience, the impact that can have is truly inspiring. So as you hear Robin's and my conversation with Jen and Rod today, I hope that God really stirs up something in you about what obedience to the call of his mission on your life looks like. So great to have you in the studio with us. Exciting to be continuing our Talking Justice series. We've got Jen Barker and Rod Callanan from DIAS, Droplets in the Stream. Welcome. Lovely to have you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And I'm joined, of course, by Robin, my co-host. Yeah, it's good to have you back in the studio.
Fantastic to have another one of the Talking Justice series.
Yeah, so good. So I think we'll start today. For those listening, they may have no idea what DIAS is, what Droplets in a Stream is. Tell us a little about the organization, and we'll jump in to think how it began. But first, what do you do and how do you do it?
So our goal is really to help equip people on the ground that are already working in organizations with the real banner of it being around vulnerable children. So we partner with four organizations in Kenya and Uganda, and it's organizations that have been going for a number of years. We partner with those that are leading those organizations to help mentor them, guide them, help fundraise for them, and really just be a connection for them as they're trying to grow their organizations and really protect the children that are out there that they're serving.
That's amazing. So that looks like resourcing and funding, but also supporting them in a whole bunch of different ways, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's about coming alongside them, talking, finding out what their concerns are, what their needs are, finding out how best they can be equipped. So that our role is not one that we actually go in and actually do the work ourselves in the country, but rather walk alongside and stand with credible leaders that we've come across. So over the time, we've worked with probably six or seven. We're currently working with four, looking at a fourth in Zambia at the moment. Wow. But yeah, our role is to resource them. A lot of it is funding. Yeah. That's obvious. They're in Africa. Their needs are great. But it's more about that. It's about equipping, mentoring, supporting them, helping them know that they're not alone out there. Mm. Relationship building. And I remember even sitting with Robin many years ago, and I always quite remember that phrase, sitting under the tree and just talking to them, getting to know them, finding out what their needs are and how best we can equip them. We have so many resources here in Australia. Yeah. Mm. We have the skills. We have the people. And that's what we want to help them connect with is the resources that we have here.
Mm. I think it's really humbling, isn't it, to come in to that kind of context, even though in many ways you hold a lot of power because you hold the resources, but sit with somebody as peers, even as teachers in a space like that and say, you know, what are you seeing? What do you need to prioritize? You know, talk about how that works, because both of you are both very senior and, you know, you run your company, Rod, an engineering company, and Jen, you're a partner at EY. What is it to have all that expertise and all that know-how, but then to not want to fall into the trap of white is right and west is best and coming alongside people? How hard has that been?
It's been a challenge at times, and sometimes we haven't gotten it right, to be honest. You know, I think in the early days, you know, you have these big dreams and you think, oh, wow, you know, if you do X, Y, and Z, you know, this will happen. And I think it's learning that what we might see as the next step may not be their next step. Mm. And so letting them determine, okay, well, what's my next step and how am I going to get there? And really just coaching them through that process. You know, Rod and I have found that it takes a lot longer than you might think it to take any activity over there. But I think it's making sure that you're guiding, but you're letting them determine what's the strategy, what's the next steps, how am I going to accomplish that with my own environment and resources and skill sets that I currently have, and then how do we come along beside that? So. Mm-hmm.
I recall in some of the early years, we thought that we would, you know, have this plan that we would come alongside a partner, and within a limited number of years, we were maybe even thinking 2, maybe 3 years, we would have that partner totally sorted out and equipped, and we would then leave them and move on to the next partner. And that was, you know, naivety. Mm. It's more about relationship building. Mm. It's about connecting with them. And if you want sustainable change in a community, in a church community, in a village, in a country, it's going to take generations. Mm. And so therefore you have to actually be prepared to walk with them for many years. And in fact, I say to our partners that we walk in with them for life. For as long as we're around, we're going to be with them and walk with them as they progress. And it's not a, you know, quick fix solution with them. And yeah, it's from an engineer point of view, I'm, you know, for me, it's black and white and very defined and everything fits in a box and you tick the list off and everything. And that has been a challenge, as Jen said, not being able to see results immediately. But now that we've been in this and doing this now for 14 years, the results that we do see are amazing. I mean, I've seen one kid that when we found him many years ago, he was literally sleeping in a stormwater pipe underneath a road. We equipped the partner that was working with him, Haggai, and Haggai let him sleep in his toilet outside in the garden. And even during that period, this guy then stole from Haggai. You know, he was that desperate, and that now, you know, 14 years later, he's married, he's preaching in Haggai's church.
Wow.
He's got kids, and he's running his own business.
Amazing.
You know, that's transformation.
Yeah, wow.
And that would never have happened in a 2-year period.
And that's generational, right? Because now there's kids he's raising with resource, with, you know, identity, with purpose. It's a whole different shift, which changes generations.
Exactly. Yeah. That's culture change. It's generational change, and it's lasting change.
That's awesome. Mm. So 14 years is a while. That's impressive that you stuck with it. I'm fascinated to find out how this began, because both of you obviously highly powered people who are motivated, you're entrepreneurial, you're business people. What took this from, I heard about this idea and so I thought I'd just volunteer and give some of my time or some of my money, to, no, we're going to actually start our own not-for-profit that works internationally across multiple nations? Like, that doesn't happen overnight. What started this journey for you?
It started when a group of friends actually invited me back to I'd lived in Uganda and worked there with my wife for 2 years.
Detecting an accent.
Moving from South Africa on my way to Australia, I'd stopped off in Uganda, as you do,
Is that the way? No,
it's not. But for me, it was the way, and I can now see how God had his hand in that, in the sense that he – you know, when I left there, I must have left a little bit of my heart back there, because when I got an invite to go back and work with a friend who was opening a little orphanage, I said, yeah, let's go. And I thought it would just be a, you know, boys trip for a week. And I went there, and while I was there on, at this opening, God really laid upon my heart. I didn't quite know. To be honest, it was the first time I'd ever felt God saying, Rodney, I'm talking to you. This is what – and I didn't even know what he was saying at that stage, to be honest. But I knew – this wasn't just a trip just to come and see my ex-work colleagues. This was about God saying, you can do something. You can make a difference like this in Uganda. Wow. if you listen. And I came back, and I actually still didn't know what it was. And I'd just met Jen a few months prior to that trip, and talking to Pat Haggerty and Jen and another friend of ours, Chris Reed, and we ended up being – ended up convincing them to all come back with me the next year to Uganda to meet with a guy that I'd met over there. And so they accepted for some crazy reason. They might regret it at times, but the four of us went over, and we met with Hagar, and God just showed us and told us very clearly, I'm speaking for myself, but I think for Jen too, that this is something that we can do. We can help these people if we pool our resources, come back to Australia, tap into our networks, our local churches, our friends. We didn't know what we didn't even know what Dias would look like, but we sat, you know, under a umbrella, I remember, and Pat Haggerty made a little logo, and Chris Reed was doing a strategic plan, and Jen was trying to balance the books, and we came back and we started, and
amazing.
And one thing led to another, and then we suddenly realized there's all legal implications, and it gets complicated, and it does, but God is patient and he's trustworthy, and he taught us step by step where we are now. I don't think we could actually have got we didn't know how big this would get, but one step at a time God showed us.
I love the obedience angle that you're bringing out, but I think a subtle second sort of angle is this idea of curiosity. And Jen, I mean, we can see or know God might be saying something, but it takes an appetite, a hunger, a curiosity to keep kind of going after it, to persevere for a year, for longer, to see what that looks like. Can you tell us a bit about what that was for you?
Yeah, it's interesting because you look back and you realize just how many things God's put in your life to prepare you for something. I mean, I remember in grade 3 doing a report on Kenya and having this, you know, obsession with Kenya for this year and cutting everything out of National Geographic. So, you know, there was clearly something put on my heart way back then. And then throughout my high school and college years, I was very involved in missions across the Caribbean and South America. And so clearly there was these things that God was instilling. I moved to Australia when I was 30 and met Rod and Pat, and they became pretty much my big brothers when I moved here, because I didn't really know anybody. I was transferred with EY and it was kind of like, okay, here I am. What do I do? And when they came to me and said, hey, would you be interested in, you know, going to Uganda? My first reaction was like, yes, of course. Now, you know, you look back on that and you go, why was I, you know, it seems a bit odd to just go on this trip. But there was also, I went to work and I said, hey, I've been invited on this. Would you be interested in helping support me? And I had 12 partners come to me and said, I'll pay for your trip to go.
Wow.
Now, that's a real testament to, you know,
God's resourcing.
Exactly. So everything kind of set us up for that. So curiosity, huge part of, well, what is this? What's this about? What can I do? What is it in me that strikes me to be able to add to something here? You know, I've always struggled at times of going, oh, I'm in this business world where, you know, it just seems to be about building and growing in these, you know, these businesses. And what about people and how people are impacted? And so that's always been my heart. So to be able to find a way that I could go, okay, well, how can I use my skills to do something? And I think that was really the trigger of us starting to go, okay, well, here's an organization. It's like, oh, I have a skill set that can add to something and I can add to this. And and I felt immediate value, that I was adding value to something. And I think that's really what kept me engaged all these years, as you could see that I have something to give.
Because it's, as you said, Rod, and even hearing you talk, Jen, it's grown significantly, and you probably had no idea when you started where it would end up. And even now, we don't know what the next 14 years will hold. But life didn't stop on the way through. So you know, you're growing businesses. Jen, you've had, you started family, and so you've been a mom and working and now running a not-for-profit that works across the globe. Like, there's a lot of challenges in there. What have you seen God do on the way through that's kept that alive? Because it's not just the vision. It's, you know, the vision can, you know, it can fail, it can perish, it can lose its kind of temperature. But across 14 years, across, you know, like 300% increase in budgets of giving and that kind of thing, like there's a lot there, but that's hard work on top of another full life. God's got to be in the mix, right, to see something like that continue to grow.
Yeah, it certainly has. I mean, at times across these 14 years, I've felt that we were stagnating, we're going nowhere. We've made some mistakes. We've actually partnered with one or two people that actually, you know, failed in their commitments to us, and we've had to let them go. So yeah, there are disappointments. There always will be, I think, in life. But it's how you learn from those experiences and how you rebound from them. Yeah, capacity and time can be a challenge, and it still to this day it's a challenge. I mean, I know for all of us it is. But as I said earlier, I mean, you know, God understands these things, and he promises that his yoke will be light. It doesn't take it away. It's still a yoke. And yes, there are times when I've struggled to balance my civil engineering business time, family time, and mission time. But when you go there and you actually see a child, when you actually go to Africa, which I'm really looking forward to going again, yeah. is when you see the difference in that you've made in that one child's life, or that one man's life, or the family that has been fed, or now coming to church, or even sometimes we brought kids over here, as you know, for surgeries. That's what motivates you through those difficult times, I think, is when you can see that God's grace, justice has been brought, a witch doctor has been caught, a family has seen justice. That's what motivates you to struggle through the times when you feel overwhelmed, because there are times when we feel overwhelmed. There are times when we don't have enough finances to provide, you know, our partners. There are times when we can't get to see them and they're struggling. Some of our partners are struggling with mental, you know, issues because they're just so overwhelmed with what the trauma that they face.
Yeah.
And I know as a board we have struggled at times. But we're honest with each other. We give each other latitude. We give each other space. And we know that God's timing is often not our timing. And often when we push too hard, it's because we push in too hard, and we trying to overreach what God is actually saying. This is where he wants us to, you know, be. Just be with them right now. You don't need to fund a $500,000 school. That'll come later. Just be with them right now and give them what you can. And that's and the most important thing is a phone call to them sometimes, not even finances. It's that relationship with them.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
I'm really interested in a few things you've mentioned. Some of our audience might not be familiar with a few strange things you've just mentioned then, Rod, like witch doctors and surgery. And you're starting to talk about some of the very dark elements of humanity and how evil can be in the mix, but also you're talking about the goodness of God and his grace and justice. Explain how God's taken you on a journey with understanding who he is and some of these really gray areas of wrestling with justice, God, the God of justice, and the evil that you see in the world.
Yeah. of late, in the sort of the last 4 to 5 years, one of the areas that we're dealing with prominently is the area of trafficking of children. Out of Uganda, there's still sort of war going on, and there's some terrorist groups still attacking schools and communities in Uganda. And one of our partners, Peter Markle, has actually been actively involved in these areas of rescuing kids out of trafficking, where the girls are taken as sex slaves and the boys are taken as soldiers, and they taken across the border into the Congo or Sudan and the like. He's also working in an area where child sacrifice, as a result of witch doctors sacrificing children, is prevalent. And so this has been a real dark area that we've started to support them in.
A lot of Westerners would think, what is that, something from a movie? Is that still happening today? I thought we dealt with that. But it's very much real and happening, isn't it?
It is. And when I first got told about it, I thought to myself, this is not something that we can deal with because it'll be too shocking and too horrific for people to actually hear about even. I didn't quite know how to even communicate it to our donors and supporters. But it's real. And fortunately, Peter Markle and the Ugandan police and the counterterrorism units are actually pursuing these cases. And so one of the areas that we've got involved in is actually funding this. And we've actually helped them connect with other organizations around the world, like Operation Underground Railroad, IJM's involved, and others as well, ENA. And so our role is to actually help Peter, equip him. The fact that I was in the National Defence Force in South Africa, he thinks I'm good at hunting down people. I'm not, but I did go on one raid, and it was interesting. And we caught the guy, and he's in jail, and there's a documentary on SBS about it.
Yeah, and we'll put that in the show notes. But
yeah, so that has been traumatic. And for me, I've seen things which nobody should see, and I'm very careful about filtering that for the rest of the team and anybody else. But it shows you the absolute worst side of humanity. But through God's grace and his power, and I've prayed a lot with it, and I've prayed with Peter about it as well, he's given us strength to actually push through. And so we've seen results with that. And dramatically and very positively, literally just last week, the Ugandan government passed a law into action, which Peter Markle has been lobbying and advocating for 7 years, to actually decriminalize witchcraft. It wasn't a criminal offense up to now. Mm. And so the people would go to witch doctors and sacrifice their children because they were told to do that, thinking it was legal and that they'd be empowered or healed or their business would be successful. Mm. Radical stuff. That's not all we do, but it is something we do. And through God's grace, we have been able to actually rescue a bunch of kids that have actually survived these attacks. And we put them in new homes. We've counseled them. We put them in a rehabilitation center. We've reunited all the trafficked kids. Over the last 2 years, we must have rescued 200-odd kids from a terrorist group. The Allied Democratic Forces, and rehabilitated with all their kids, with all their families. And then we've rescued kids from witchcraft as well. We brought them here for rehabilitation surgeries, and some are in the US as well at the moment. Mm. So it's exciting. It's horrific, but it's exciting. Mm.
And I think that's a beautiful space that we as believers can sit in, is that this is – for all intents and purposes, on the website, you know, and all the materials that you've printed, it's a not-for-profit that is supporting in-country organizations to do welfare work, yet there's a huge spiritual element to it where you're making a huge difference. So you're not just changing, you know, the culture of a family, you're actually changing the spiritual culture and atmosphere of whole communities. How have you seen that translate back into people outside of the context of Uganda, Kenya, these places? How do people cope with that? Like, you know, do you go to EYGen and talk to the partners about, yeah, we're setting kids free from witchcraft? Or is this something that you struggle to translate back into a Western space as people look at how they support you?
It's been interesting over time. I've struggled with it at times, is how do I present this? And probably I think there's certain elements that give you the opportunity. Having something like an SBS special
makes a difference.
Makes a difference. You can put that out there. It doesn't necessarily have the church context around it, but clearly then you can talk to what's happening and what we're doing. So EY's been very much across what I've been doing all of these years, and I'm pretty open with my teams and going, oh, you've got to see this and you've got to see, you know, what's happening here. But what it does allow you to do is it opens the door for conversations that you're never expecting to have. And, you know, one of the more recent conversations that I've had is with somebody that I was working with who was kind of at her wit's end. She's, you know, had enough with the pressures and the intensity of work and said, I'm ready to quit and go save the world, Jen, and do something different. And I said, well, okay, hold on, you know, let's take a deep breath. But there's that thought process of how are you doing what you're doing and how can I do something as well? And so, you know, being able to coach and guide somebody around what is it that's tugging on your heart? What is it that's calling you and that you might have a passion for to do allows you to just continue to open that door of conversation because people know that I have these outside interests and that we're in an organization that is doing a variety of things. There's, you know, it leads to conversations where people come and ask and then want to do something of their own. So
that's brilliant. I love that God's such an opportunist in all of these things. Like, you know, you can be spending all of these years investing into these in someone that your workplace has no concept for God or justice or anything. So explain to me how you do this and why you do it. Like, oh, here's who Jesus is. You know, like, it's such a powerful opportunity. What about for you, Rod? Does this, like, I can imagine running a civil engineering firm, you're out on with some pretty intense situations with people building, you know, roads and major, you know, infrastructure things. How do you start to talk about, oh, yeah, I help kids get saved from, you know, child sacrifice and trafficking?
I very seldom start that conversation. They do it. They always ask, where have you been? Because I always tell them I've just been to Africa. And they say, well, why do you keep going to Africa? Okay, how long have you got? that's invariably the question is, why do you go to Africa? What are you doing over there? And that just opens the door. And then I can take a conversation pretty quickly from witchcraft to the gospel in 5 minutes now, because that's what it does. And that's what you do. It's not... They say, why do I bother? Well, I bother because justice needs to be brought to the earth. You know, God loves these children and we have the resources here. And because I have the time and the ability, I can go over and help somebody to change their life, change their culture. And so that's the biggest opportunity that I have is when people ask me, what do I do with my life? And I say, well, I run an engineering business on the side, but... The main thrust is this. This is changing children's lives, rescuing kids from trafficking in Africa.
That's amazing. Because that can still be quite a big step to, you know, back at home where it's comfortable, where you've got a reputation, where people know you. That's still a bit of a fear step to go, okay, I'm going to actually share really vulnerably now about why I do what I do. Which was scarier, rescuing kids from witch doctors or actually talking to people with no grid for God who know you professionally to go, yeah, it's because of Jesus that I do this.
It is actually talking to the people. Yeah, I still struggle with that. I mean, I'm not comfortable, you know, doing that. But I'm becoming more comfortable. And now instead of, you know, it's not about sharing the gospel. It's just talking about life. You start just talking about what we're doing. You just explain what we're doing and why we're doing it, and you'll end up giving them the gospel because that's the motivation.
Yeah, Rod, I'm interested too because when you first went on this trip and then you were curious for a year and then, you know, 14 years down the track, and if you had known that you would be becoming political, that you'd be engaging local members, that you'd be going to parliament, that you'd be speaking, you know, about circumstances in other nations and Australia's responsibility, you know, you've had a lot of opportunities God's opened up because he's entrusted you with something and then you've been faithful in the something that he's opened up the next opportunity. What would you, in reflection now, say to people about, you know, they've got great aspirations for these amazing things. Like, I'm going to speak truth to power in love and I'm going to change the world. You know, but how do we get there? You know, what have you learned about God's process?
God's process is a lot slower than our process, because you can be awfully emotionally inspired by something you see on TV and a big statistic and a number and an overwhelming shock horror story coming out of Africa or India, something like that. But what we found and what I found in starting Dice and growing Dice over the years is literally just take it one day at a time. God is so gentle with us. He's so patient with us. And he has eternity in mind. And we just have like, oh, I've got to get this fundraiser done today, tomorrow, and because the crisis isn't right in front of me. But what I've seen is that the problem will still be there tomorrow in reality. And what's important is that we just be persistent and be prepared to be in the game for the long run. It is a long game that we're playing. Mm. We can't change a culture. We can't change a community overnight. So we have to be prepared to go do it for long term and not just a 2-week, you know, mission off to Africa and come back and wash your hands of it. But God knows that we have other commitments. We have businesses, we have families, we have children that we have to take care of. Yeah. And so if we just trust God to actually just go with it and to listen to his voice and be prepared to take it one step at a time, he will be with us.
Mm. Yeah. And I think that's really powerful, because it suddenly creates a sustainable way of being constantly about God's mission in the world. It's not, I have this knee-jerk reaction. And for some people, it's okay. Yeah. You know, I sell everything and I move. But that long-term view of God calls us for this marathon of living out his mission in the world. And so if I burn brightly now, will I still be burning in 14 years or 28 years or, you know, 50 years time? And the value of making it both and, that he's blessing my here and now, where I've invested my skills and my affections and my commitments to family and church and work, and he'll take that and then he'll multiply it to a place on the other side of the planet and I can set kids free. I think that's really powerful to help people navigate, particularly younger people, like, do I just sell everything and run, and or do I actually see what the Lord has in process for me? Because, you know, even you're saying it took 7 years to change the law for Peter Michael, you know, if you had have said at the start, it's only going to take 7 years, you know, at 30 or 40, you're like, oh. But at 20, like, well, I could hang around for 7 years. But if you look back, that 7 years has probably gone so fast and so much has happened in between and God's been so faithful. You know, the time actually almost disappears as we just commit to walking daily with the Lord, doesn't it?
Yeah. And I don't think that I could have had the capacity to actually have Dice as big as it is now back 14 years ago. But God has actually, I mean, through lots of prayer and lots of spending time with him and searching with him, is that he's actually adjusted my other life to be able to enable the growth in Droplets in the Stream, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's been interesting as well, in that God has put certain people in Dice at very key moments to challenge us. So, you know, we were moving along and we were stagnating a little bit at one point, and to have, you know, a new director come on board and go, well, why don't you have tax deductibility? Why aren't you pressing for this? And why, you know, why don't you have, and it was like, oh, but that's in the too hard bucket. But it was at that moment in time, we needed a bit of a push. Mm. You know, we had kind of gotten a bit comfortable in what we were doing at that point, and we had really leveled off, and to have somebody come in and push us a bit meant that then we had this acceleration growth. And we've got new directors that have come on board recently and are giving Rod and I both a new push and a new challenge. And I think believing that those challenges will come at the right time and then recognizing when those challenges are there to go, okay, I'm going to be open to this and not shut it off and not provide excuses of why I can't necessarily do something, but just let it unfold and happen and just be obedient in that.
I think it's interesting that you know, you're both business people and equipped, and you're saying that some of the business challenges, which aren't the sexy, missional kind of postcard moments, were like in the too hard basket. And yet, you know, many NGOs, many missional movements are desperately looking for people with capacity and skill sets from other spheres of influence, like the business world, like the finance sector, like the, you know, the consulting firms that can actually come in and triage something, or, you know, find an opportunity or restructure the funds to make it more sustainable. What would you say to business people listening to this podcast who have maybe sat in church for many years and gone, well, you know, the social people amongst us, or the, you know, the people that have got a lot of time on their hands that can go and, you know, but, you know, maybe I'll never be really embraced by the church as in that missional sense. What would you say to them as, you know, testimony to the way God's worked with everything that he's put in front of you for his missional purpose?
I think it's amazing how God uses the skills you actually have and where your strengths are. You know, for me, I've been much more behind the scenes for many of these years in terms of, you know, doing the finances, doing the books, and making sure we're ticking all the right boxes, and providing some of that challenge of, okay, here's our boundaries, here's what, you know, we're working in. And I haven't necessarily been able to go over to Africa every year and do that, particularly after I had my kids. And so I do think that sometimes we can not recognize that our skill set is as valuable as it is. Mm. And that, but even in the organization, I'd love other business people to come around to challenge and go, okay, well, let's bounce ideas off of, let's you know, strategize. How much bigger could I be thinking that, because I'm in the detail, I'm not thinking that big. And sometimes it does take an outside person to come in and say, have you considered, have you thought about, I've seen this work in my business. Do you think you could do something similar? And for us to be open about it, to think, okay, well, how could that happen? What are some mechanisms for us to think differently?
And leaving room for God to bring new people to open their eyes as to how he can use them in that bigger picture as well. Rod, what would you say?
Exactly that. It's I've seen time and time again now, not just, well, our board as well. I mean, we have financial advisor on there. We have a civil engineer, we have a business accountant, we have, you know, such a diverse range of people, but their skill sets complement each other so well. And around a board meeting, the ideas that come up are only from God, I honestly believe. And I think one of my strengths is networking people and getting the word out there, you know, sort of advertising. Social media has really helped us, in the sense that we can actually tell people what we're doing, what we're engaging in. And then every chance meeting that I have with somebody, they say, they show a little spark of interest or something, I tap into that person, I say, this is what we're doing, how can you help us? And it's that sort of input that God, where God invests in, that becomes so encouraging to us. Mm. When that person then comes and sits with us and says, well, this is what we've done in Africa. I mean, we were looking for somebody to manage one of our partners in Kenya, and put something in the River Life bulletin. Next minute, a lady comes up and says, well, I was working in World Vision. I'll happily do that. And so she's now a partner manager. You know, this is how God brings people to us at the right time. Hmm. And yeah, earlier, late last year, we were really struggling in terms of our capacity, and we realized we needed a new bunch of people on board. And within 6 months, I think we had six people.
Wow.
Join us. One's in France, one's in South Africa, and the rest are here. So they're all, you know, and that's God's grace, God's gift to us. Hmm. If we ask, he will provide those resources.
That's amazing. I love that it's really all of it boils down to continuing to just foster those relationships, to build those relationships, to build those bridges and those connections to people, whether it's those in need in Uganda, whether it's those people here who know they have a call in their life but they don't know how to engage that. All of it is just connecting in those relationships to create opportunities for God to work. You know, it's, you might be an accountant, you might be an engineer, you might be able to walk into a witchcraft a witch doctor's village and bring the good news of Jesus. You can also feed a child. You can help bring a massive organization to actually start to contribute back into the communities around them. It's amazing that it all works through that, just the simplicity of relationship. And if you give it to God, he'll do anything with it.
Each one of those people we need, you know, I mean, we need people that can just do marketing for us. When I say just, I mean, they can do marketing for us. We need graphic artists. We need social media. We need printers. We need editorialists. Mm. We need IT guys. We need everything. And most organizations need that. So you don't need to, you know, done the little chart and have the spiritual gift of mission. You can be on mission as an engineer, as an accountant.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Which is fantastic encouragement to anyone listening to this podcast. If you feel motivated from what you've heard today, definitely reach out, connect with Dias in the show notes. You can see those connections and share your heart of what God's awakening in you and see if there's an opportunity to activate that with Dias or any of the guests that we've got in this series.
Yeah, so good. So for those listening who may be able to look at the links, where can we find out more information about Dias?
www.dias.asn, sorry.
Don't try that again.
Let's start again.
You just pick up from your – you say it, Jen. You probably get it right.
No, ask the question again, Joe.
Oh, the question's fine. You can just pick up the answer. You just tell us the website. It's fine.
www.dias.anu.
Great.
No, A-N-U. I didn't say it.
ASN.
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 Yeah. Do we have to? I'll just do it again. So if people want to find out more info about Dias, you can head to the website, which I believe is www.dias.asn.au. Find you on social media, of course, as well.
Facebook, Instagram. Facebook is
brilliant. Awesome. And if people are interested, they can contact you there and they can see how they might be able to contribute to what Dias is doing around the world. It's amazing. So thanks so much for coming in and sharing your time with us. It's just so powerful to hear what God's doing. And I am so encouraged by the simple steps of obedience that end up changing lives and generations. It's just so powerful. Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks for having
Thank
us.
You. Thank you.
Robin Robertson and I having a chat with Rod Callanan and Jen Barker from Droplets in a Stream. Wow, amazing stories. So cool that SBS decided to do a documentary about them and followed them as they went, and they captured a witch doctor who was prosecuted and actually brought to justice, which is really powerful. I've met some of the kids that they've brought over to Australia for reconstructive surgery after they've been hurt as part of child sacrifice and ritual practices in Uganda. And it's just really powerful to see what freedom and what hope looks like on the face of a child. Really powerful stuff. Again, if you wanted to find out more about Dias, you can Google them, dias.asn.au. You can find them on social media. Just look for Droplets in a Stream, and you can find about how you can contribute. You can read some of their stories about how they began, and you can follow along with what God's doing there, and even have him speak into how you might contribute to what justice looks like for ending child sacrifice and ending poverty in communities in Africa. So really encouraging. Hope you were really stirred by this. If, again, as always, you've been stirred by our Talking Justice series, why not share this with someone who might be able to contribute? I loved how they said that no matter where you are, if you're an accountant, if you're in marketing, if you know whoever you are, God wants to use the skills and the talents that he's already blessed you with on top of the spiritual gifts that he's giving you. Such a powerful way for us all to see how we can contribute to see what God's doing in this world happen and flow out and see his kingdom flourish. So yeah, encourage you to share this around. Of course, like and subscribe. It really helps other people find these stories and these conversations. So give us a review on whatever platform you listen to your podcasts on. And we'll be back next time with another conversation on River Life's Going Deeper podcast.
Thanks for listening to this River Life podcast. Make sure you subscribe to keep up to date with all the latest content. If this podcast has raised any questions for you, contact us via church@riverlifechurch.org.au or through Facebook and Instagram. Thanks for listening.